Good morning. It's a bit surprising. I wasn't expecting to be in this position today. However, a father was affectionately joking with his four-year-old daughter, and he said to her, "Where did we get such a nice girl like you?" Her reply was obviously well-trained, "Jesus gave me to you." Her dad then responded, "But why did he give you to us and not somebody else?" She thought for a moment, then blurted out, "'Cause my clothes are here." The why question. Why are you here? We always want to know why. If you have a toddler, you'll say to him, "Put your toys away." Why? "Stop doing that." Why? A psychologist suggests that if we know the reason behind an order to do something, we are more likely to do what we've been asked. So, too often, and particularly with kids, we go into lengthy explanations. So when you say to your toddler, "Put your toys away," why? Well, if you don't put them away, someone might step on them and break them. Why? Because the toys are bought from China and they're not well made. Well, someone may hurt themselves when they fall over them. Why? Because Granny is old and frail and she'll fall over anything. Have you ever noticed how as we get older, once upon a time I would say, "Oh, I fell down." Now I say, "I've had a fall." Why? Because I'm getting... No, we won't go down that path. The why saga continues not just when we're kids, but all through our lives. And we can end up being frustrated and angry, trying to explain to people the why for everything. But explaining why to a child doesn't suddenly give them adult thinking. They're a child, and the scripture says quite clearly, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. So asking an eight-year-old what sex they are is not a good question to ask. They don't have the maturity of thought to look at decisions or think of decisions like this. But we almost think it's good to ask why. We carry it over into adulthood as well. We start to believe that God has given us some gene that we're naturally inquisitive, and this develops your mind. Well, I'm not sure that's true, but when a child or another person keeps asking why all the time, you think, well, they've got a sharp brain. Maybe they're going to be a scientist when they grow up, or maybe they're working through all sorts of things. And so we accept the why questions over and over again. And it becomes more of a problem when someone is doing something wrong that's dangerous. For instance, little Jimmy's playing on the road. "Get off the road." Why? Now we know why. There's traffic on the road. And so when he says why, you start to tell him that there's traffic on the road, and suddenly a B-double appears over the horizon and comes roaring down the hill, and it's too late. Jimmy's been hit by a truck. Now, unfortunately, this questioning goes on all through our lives. We develop it as children, because that's supposed to be healthy, and then we carry it into adulthood and we ask why. So when the boss says, "Do this," why? Now you're on very dangerous ground. Now I know they can't sack you anymore, because it's got to go through a whole process. But a boss has the right to say, "Do this," because that's what the job entails. Asking why is not healthy in a situation like that. And we carry this relationship not only through life, but in, so we carry this questioning why, not only into our lives, but into our relationship with God. And that, I want to suggest, is not good at all. Jesus says he wants us to think of others before ourselves. Why? Are they more important than me? Why? Well, we have a tendency to be selfish and want to put ourselves first. I'm not selfish. I mean, look at John. Look at, you know, he's a good case of, if you want self. The why question actually becomes delayed obedience. When God says to do something, to say why becomes an excuse for not doing what he says. I want to suggest that delayed obedience quickly becomes rebellion. God doesn't like rebellion. In 1 Samuel, he has written for us, rebellion is worse than witchcraft. But too often when something happens, particularly if we don't like it, why? It's funny, you don't hear people saying, I've just had a fabulous holiday, 2 weeks away, driving around Australia, it was just fantastic. They don't say, why? That's a good thing. It's not good things that we have the why question for. Usually it's for things we don't like. When something negative happens to us. Why me? Why? I wonder if we develop the feeling that if we know the reason why, we can cope better with the awkward thing that's happening to us. I don't think that's true, but I suspect that's how a lot of us think and deal with it. But of course, there are many things that will happen to us that we will never know the reason why, not this side of heaven anyway. Why does one person get seriously ill and somebody else is disgustingly healthy? Why is one person facing hardship after hardship in their lives? They lose their job, they lose their home, they lose their spouses, they lose their children. Why are some people seemingly cursed and some people blessed? You know the answer to that? There is an answer to that, by the way. My dad used to say it often. God only knows. But it's true. God is the only one who knows why things happen to us. For some people who go through difficulties and start asking the why question, the difficulties they're going through seems to destroy their faith. You either get better or you get bitter. Too many believers get bitter. They rage against God and turn away from their faith. And the more self-focused you are, the easier it is to slip into anger over this. One wise person wrote these words, "The highways of life are littered with ex-church members who have turned their backs on God because of something that happened that they couldn't accept." What they show is a lack of understanding, a lack of faith. The faith that was read to us this morning in the Hebrews passage is mentioned time and time again. All these people who had to do things they may not have liked or enjoyed because God said to do it. Faith is the very basis of all we believe. The New International Version puts it this way: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we don't see. The Message puts it interestingly: the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. And the Amplified Version of Hebrews 11:1 takes it even further. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for and the things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Faith, perceiving as real fact which is not yet revealed to the senses. That gives you some breadth of understanding of what faith is. Faith is not blind. Faith is what the Holy Spirit produces in us and we're called to follow, revealing what the future holds for us. We can face huge difficulties when we know there's something else. When our natural tendency is to ask, why is this happening to me? Why should I have this? Our tendency should be to focus on God in trust, in faith, and keep on keeping on. So how do we stay focused on God? See, I'm asking the why questions all the time. Why is it that it's so important that we focus on God? Because it's in God that there are answers to our questions. He does that mainly through his word. We call it the Bible. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, all praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is merciful. He's the merciful Father and the source of all comfort. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they're troubled, we'll be able to toggle them into the same way of thinking. I know when my first wife died, I'd been a funeral director at that stage for 15 years, as well as being a senior pastor. What a task. I did hatches, matches and dispatches. But I know when Judith died, suddenly the counselling that I had used time and time again in helping people to deal with the loss of someone they love took a different turn. I knew it not by learning, not by the extensive reading and training I'd done, but by facing the reality of losing my wife of 47 years. I had a different approach to dealing with people who were going through a similar experience. So what Paul is saying, praise be to God because he helps us in our troubles and difficulties, not so that we'll feel better, but he helps us so that we can help others. There's a reason why we go through these difficulties. 2 weeks after Judith died, I'd worked closely with palliative care in Broken Hill. And the head of palliative care said, look, we've got a conference, and I know it's only 2 weeks since Judith died, but would you be prepared to share how you coped with that? And I thought, no, it's all a bit raw. It's a bit close. I'm uncomfortable. It hurts. And then I came across this passage, which I've seen many times before in 2 Corinthians 1. The help that God is giving me to go through this is so that I can help others. So I could talk to the palliative care team, not as a professional who's used to dealing in this area and had been for 15 years, but rather as someone who's just gone through it. The reason God puts us through trials and difficulties, one of them is so we can help others going through the same situation. Again, Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, this is what he says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us to develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Why would God be putting us through difficulties and trials? So that our endurance will develop. That's what he wants for us. Peter writes about it as well in 1 Peter chapter 4. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials that you're going through as if something strange were happening to you. Instead, be very glad, for these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering, for you will see his glory to be revealed to all the world. When the why question comes up, why is this happening to me? It could be any one of those reasons. One, to help us help others. The other one, to develop endurance. Another one is so that we will understand the suffering that Christ went through. We understand it far more from a position of pain than we do from being at a party. If the why questions come out in anger, then admit it and let God know that you're angry. God can handle our anger. It doesn't disturb him at all. He knows what it is to be angry at injustice. He saw it with his son. So if you're angry going through these difficulties, let him know. Tell him you're angry. But don't couch it in seemingly spiritual mumbo-jumbo with why God questions. We may never understand fully why. But if we have faith, and if it develops our faith, then helps us to understand a little bit of why. So when somebody comes up to you, particularly a fellow believer, and says, why am I going through all this? It's just awful. Why me? Maybe you need to encourage them to focus on God and his word, because there are answers there. We too often want to adopt the psychological approach of, well, if I can explain why, that it'll help them through it. No, it won't. Knowing why Judith died wouldn't help me one bit go through with it. The pain of being apart after 47 years, of having part of me ripped out, even if God himself had said, well, I did it for this reason, that wouldn't help me go through the pain. It's, oh, well, it's all right. I've still got the pain. So you see, the psychological thing of knowing the reason why, which we inject into our kids from a young age and we carry over into adulthood, doesn't give us the answer at all. God's word gives us the answer. And there's something you can add to God's word. We need, when we're going through difficulties, to share them with people of like mind, with other believers. They're not likely to give us the latest psychological mumbo-jumbo to handle it. They're more likely to say, I know what it is to lose someone you love. This is what I found. This is how it helped me. So again, when somebody is angry about why is this happening to me, refer them to God, to his word, and to other believers who have been through a similar trial and can maybe help them handle it. I'm old enough to remember who Malcolm Muggeridge was. He was a famous Christian, English, don't hold that against him. And he was once invited to speak at All Souls Church in London, which I've attended. And when he did, all the local atheists showed up. They wanted some sport. After the service, Muggeridge answered questions, and the last one came from a boy in a wheelchair who spoke with great difficulty. In fact, the boy couldn't get three words out, but Muggeridge said, "Take your time. I want to hear what you have to say, and I won't leave till I allow you to share it." Finally, the boy got out. "You say there's a God who loves us." Muggeridge nodded. Grunting and gasping, the boy said, "Then why me?" The room was as silent as a tomb, as everyone waited to see how the great Christian Malcolm Muggeridge would answer. Finally, Malcolm stooped down and looked at the boy. "If you were fit and healthy," he asked, "would you have come here tonight?" The boy shook his head. Again, Muggeridge was silent. Then he said to the boy, "God has asked a hard thing of you, but remember, he asked something even harder of Jesus Christ. He died for you." Maybe this was his way of making sure you'd hear of his love and come to put your faith in him. There was silence for a few minutes, and the young boy got out. "Could be. Could be." Instead of asking God why, we should focus on God's word and other believers. As we deal with the difficulties that come in life, and Jesus says, expect trouble in life. That's the norm. It is abnormal to go through life with everything rosy and fine. So we should focus on God and his word. We should look to other believers. We need to get better, not bitter. Would you pray with me? God, forgive us that so often, too often, we want the why, and we may never get that this side of eternity. God, help us to get into your word, to know it experientially, to understand it as your Holy Spirit leads us into all truth. God, help us to admit our difficulties to fellow believers who are mature and brave enough to share with us the truths in your word. God, forgive us that too often we're weak and just want a simple answer and we want out of our troubles. But we ask you to trouble us to the point where our faith will grow to become real and we will become more like your suffering Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this. Amen.